We'll start the talk. Just turn to Philippians chapter 2. How do I introduce this? I suppose the best way to start is Philippians chapter 2. I'm actually a little bit nervous about giving this talk. Sorry, that wasn't meant to be funny. I am actually nervous because it's a topic that, because of the topic, it's a topic that, it's just hard to deliver. So 3 months ago, we had a prayer and fast. We have prayer and fast every 3 months, and it's great. It's just really good to have a prayer and fast. You set aside the day. It's a nice, relaxing day, and it's great fellowship. Sit around praying in tongues. You can forget about stuff. And thought it's only once every 3 months. I would actually love to have prayer and fast once a month because they're just so good. And there were only 5 people at this prayer and fast, which was a shock. The 5 of us just had a great time. It was awesome. We're seeking the Lord. But it was just a bit of a shock to me because, you know, all these people here, spirit-filled, walking in spirit and truth. And it wasn't only the 5 there that had prayer needs. We all have prayer needs. And if you don't have prayer needs, then you pray for others. I know there was a couple of people here that for logistical reasons couldn't make it, and they said they actually set aside that time for prayer to be a part of, which is great. That's really good. The day after that, I gave a bit of a talk about citizenship, you know, how important it is. You know, we grab hold of this citizenship and some examples of people that I've met, you know, how they so wanted to be a citizen of a country and all the effort they went to. And so we grab hold of our citizenship, you know, the kingdom of God. But then I had scribbled some notes in my diary to kind of do a follow-up on that today before the next prayer and fast, which is on Saturday, you know, just to remind people that this stuff's pretty important. For the Revival Fellowship, I've been in the Revival Fellowship for nearly 16 years, and we've always had prayer and fasts every 3 months. Early on, I really struggled. I used to eat, you know, I used to duck off and grab some lunch. I'd have my full breakfast and everything because I just couldn't last a whole day without food. Man. And so you struggle with that sort of thing. You do it secretly. You don't want to blaze in front of people's faces, but I still went to go after prayer and, you know, struggle initially over quite a few years. you find out, you nail it down. And then when you get it down to it and you can do the fasting and you can pray in those blocks, you know, you just get these awesome blessings. And so the next prayer and fast is next Saturday, as I said. And I'll just say, like, even though there's only 5, great fellowship. I remember when I went home that Saturday after the prayer and fast, I was just walking around my house and I actually felt, I know it's a scriptural principle, but it sounds a bit peculiar. I actually felt spiritually fat, you know, like, and I felt, I actually really felt like a block of concrete spiritually, you know, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. But then my next thought was, imagine if everybody in the assembly felt that way, you know, like the unity of the spirit is so important. We're all together. And imagine if everyone felt like a spiritual block of concrete. You know, what a wonderful assembly it will be. You know, that just seeking the Lord, and all comes from the Lord. You know, we seek the Lord and all that sort of stuff. So, I had these notes, you know, from 3 months ago in my diary, and then trying to put it all together. And those that logged in on Wednesday, and those that were at the meeting, it was a pretty crazy meeting. The Lord really took control of it. The gifts, there were 4 English gifts, and they were just like a sledgehammer slapped across the forehead. It was just incredible. You know, come on, you people. Focus on the things of the Lord. And I thought, you don't want to fall by the wayside. You know, this is such an important thing that we're part of. All 4 just bang, bang, bang. It was just such a shock. And it kind of let in, kind of gave me a bit more confidence about giving this talk today. You know, it can be a little bit confronting. And I'm the sort of person, like, there was this accountant that I used to work with, and I used to keep going up to him saying, oh, this is hard, you know, I can't do this, I can't. And he looked back at me once and he said, look, I'm not your wet nurse. And I thought, oh, okay then. Fair enough then. So I'm not your wet nurse, okay? I'm here, I've just been, the Lord's put me in this position, and we're all adults. A lot of us have been in the Lord for over 10 years, you know, like 10 years. Like, we're all adults. And so I'm not your wet nurse. And so that's why I a little bit of nervousness about this topic, because we all know better, you know, like we all know this stuff that I'm bringing out. The scriptural principles that that need to sink deep in your heart. So this first scripture, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Just one verse here, very well-known verse. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Okay? These people obeyed. So, okay, as we've always obeyed. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So when Paul disappeared, he wanted these people to carry on as they always were, you know, obeying. And then it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's such an important aspect. Salvation is what we want. You know, we want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. We don't want to be like Adam. We're just throw away the work that he had to do here on earth, just disrupt his side of the relationship with God. We want our salvation. And it says you work it out. We all have a different walk. We all have things in our lives where we've got to try and work out how we can walk in spirit and in truth around that stuff. You know, we've got to work it out ourselves. And it says with fear and trembling. So you work out what you can do and what you can't do. With fear and trembling, because at the end of the day, we want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. And that aspect of fear and trembling is being petrified of losing your salvation. Petrified. You know, I'm scared of losing my salvation. I am afraid and I'm trembling at losing my salvation. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. You know, and so with fear and trembling, we've got this choice here. Still, we're here on earth. We've still got this choice, this day-to-day thing. We know the flesh is evil and the spirit's good, and so we're torn as well with these things, but we choose the good thing with fear and trembling. We focus on the things that's spiritual with fear and trembling, because we don't want to lose our salvation, but you work it out yourself. And so then you work it out, because it's serious what you can do and what you can't do. And there are basic things, you know, like for the last year, I've just noticed a thread in the gifts to pray, to read, to fellowship. They're the important things, to pray, to read, to fellowship. Every day, pray and read. You work it out with fear and trembling, because if you don't pray and read every day, you lose your salvation. It's as simple as that. And fellowship, meetings, being used in the meetings, growing in the things of the Lord, you know, going to the prayer and fast, seeking the Lord, just so important. It's a scary thing to lose your salvation. So deep down, you work it out with fear and trembling. My goodness, I want to be there when the Lord raises me, comes back. You know, I want to be raised up to meet him in the air. So take it seriously that we do these things and seek the Lord, but you work it out. Like, work it out yourselves, what you can and you can't do. And it's once every 3 months we set aside that day. And just make it a nice, relaxing day. And just have the fellowship praying to God. And this year, we won't be having it here at the hall. We'll be having it at the Trigwell's house. If you like comfortable couches, if you want to add that, you know. But whatever, we're here praying to the Lord, seeking the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and down in verse 17. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. So there, this judgment is such an important aspect. With clarity, righteous judgment is so important. It says that it begins, true judgment begins with the house of God. But then it says, and if it first begin at us. You know, we have the kingdom of God dwelling in us. As we grow in the things of the Lord, we realise what's right and wrong. We can judge what is right and wrong. But then, we... are righteous. We are right before the Lord. We have the Spirit. We have the cloak of righteousness. So we are righteous, but then this aspect here, the righteous are scarcely saved. We walk on a tightrope, and if there's any slight gust of wind, we're off. You know, like the righteous are scarcely saved. This is where that fear is. We don't want to fall off that tightrope. We are scarce. It's a tightrope we're walking. It's a straight gate and a narrow way. That narrow, it's like a tightrope. And so we are scarcely saved if we don't stay on that tightrope. And so if we're scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, they've got no chance. And but us, we're on that tightrope. And so then it says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. Okay? Our soul, let God keep our soul. You know, grab hold. We are the apple in his eye. We are his children. He wants us to be there. So let's just commit it all to him and in well-doing. You know, doing his commandments, following his will, just holding our end of the bargain up, our side of the relationship up. Over to Revelation chapter 3. So just Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. So just referring back to that whole spiritual block of concrete. He'll make us a pillar. We'll be solid. And he'll write upon us the name of our God. You know, we will be this pillar in the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God wants for us to be, this solid temple, pillar. The pillars are important because it holds the roof up, you know. Like, and so we need to be strong in the things of the Lord, in the Spirit, and to overcome. And it says that important aspect: he that overcomes, will I make a pillar. You know, we overcome, and we are buffeted by so many things. You know, the fiery darts of the devil, and so we overcome that. God knows all this. You know, he's written in the Scriptures, and so God knows everything. And so we look to him. And look to him as much as we can with fear and trembling to be this solid, strong pillar. I mean, other examples like a tree setting its roots deep down so that if buffeted with winds or fire or whatever, it just stays there. And no matter what buffetings, it overcomes these environmental things. And so us also, we're like this pillar to stand firm no matter what we're buffeted with as we walk about here on this earth, and to be a pillar in the temple of our God. That's what we want. We want to be in the temple of our God, that spiritual temple. It's all about the Spirit now, all about it. And then we have that his name written on us, so we are his own, like I said in the opening prayer about the name, God's name. So he'll write his name on us. You know, that's ownership to be with him. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In 1 Corinthians 13 it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Okay? We grow in the things of the Lord. Like I said, most people here are over 10 years old in the Lord. You know, we put aside the childish things. We have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, we have that spiritual meat. We've left the milk behind. We're not unskillful in the word of righteousness. We've acquired this great skill and an understanding of the word of righteousness, what the scriptures say, the principles in the scriptures. So we apply that in our own life, you know, and we latch hold of that, of how important it is. We understand with clarity of what we can do for the Lord, you know, and constantly checking. You know, we have a desire to do more, you know, but constantly checking, how can I do more without burning yourself out, of course, there's that aspect, but we with fear and trembling. And at the basic level, you know, like we have two meetings on Sunday, we have a meeting on Wednesday night, and the people that are regular on a Wednesday night, we're often amazed at what happens on that Wednesday night. This Wednesday there was only 7 of us. Most of us didn't want to be there because we were so tired. And then at the end of it, we just shake our head in disbelief about how the Lord just moves and just grabs hold of us. You know, what happened there? You know, mostly with the gifts, you know, what comes out in the gifts and how it ties in with the talk. It's just phenomenal. You get phenomenally fed and you just make that effort to get there. And it's just wonderful. And that's when you start eating that meat. You know, you've given up the milk, you know, and you've latched hold of this something in you that just desire to get to the meeting. No matter how tired you are, and you just get there, and that's the meat. You're munching away on that meat, and you are no longer unskillful in the things of the word of the Lord, of word of righteousness, because you understand there's that clarity, because you know there's something good that'll happen. And we're part of the kingdom of God. We have the work of the Lord to do here on earth, and it's something that's just like that term, inborn. It's part of our instinct. You know, instinct is a bizarre thing that you mostly see in animals, but it becomes this instinct in us to be a part of the assembly functions, the assembly things, because we know it helps us grow and to bear fruit. Matthew chapter 25. So this Matthew 25, this is something that was referred to in the gifts on Wednesday, Matthew chapter 25. And this is a confronting parable, but it's so true. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. So this is an example of what the kingdom of heaven is all about, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So they had this these lamps, you know, it was burning, it was a flame, were being filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, these were all spirit-filled people. These 10 virgins were spirit-filled. 5 of them, though, were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them were munching on the meat. 5 of them were still unskillful and they were still sucking on the milk. Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let us not be at that horrible position where we're standing at the door saying, Lord, open to us, you know, because we slumbered and slept. You know, everyone needs to wake up. You know, realize, wow, this is important. Wake up. You know, trim your lamps. You've got the oil. You've been working for the Lord. You're growing. You've got all these good things, you know, and prayer and fast is great. Just praying in the Spirit. That's the oil. Building up the oil so your lamp burns and it's healthy. It's a healthy thing that carries on, and because we do wax and wane, we do that. Like we get weak, where things are really hard, and like it's tough. And then you come back up again. But the prayer and fast is so good, you can forget about that. You get top up with oil so that when things are tough, you've got that reserve of oil. You can't borrow from someone else's oil. You know, you've got to draw from your own cistern. You can't pop over and draw from someone else's cistern. You've got to do it yourselves, so that your flame continues to burn, and so that then we are on fire for the things of the Lord when he comes back. So he'll say to you, enter the joy of the Lord, thou faithful servant. You know, you're so faithful. Despite what goes on in your life, despite what goes on around you, you're faithful, looking to the Lord. He'll recognize, yes, you worked out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, with fear, acknowledging the import of this thing, the importance of our walk, you know, how we do walk through the wilderness. We wander around not knowing what the future's all about, but we trust God with fear and trembling because we don't want to be left by the wayside. And so we look to the Lord. That gift that just came out, we want to be the five wise virgins, not the foolish ones. It's that stark. We're either wise or we're foolish. We're not in between. Wise or foolish. So let us be wise. It says elsewhere in the scriptures, if you lack wisdom, pray for it. Okay, we want that wisdom to apply these things in our lives with fear and trembling. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now, surfeiting is basically debauchery, you know, getting caught up with things that are going on in this world, and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, the coming of Jesus Christ just all of a sudden comes along and you weren't ready. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, like a snare it refers to. So an animal is walking through the bush, you know, comfortable. And then all of a sudden, bang, there's a snare. Just grabs hold of its leg. Or it's trapped in a net all of a sudden. And so it says that's when Jesus comes back, it'll be like a snare to those that aren't ready. You know, we want to look up and say, ah, this is Jesus. Let's go. You know, let's go with him. We don't want to be, okay, I'm not ready. There's that snare. I'm stuck. You know, like there's no more. There's no more opportunity because like a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Bang, all of a sudden. And so it says there, watch. Therefore, pray always that we may be accounted worthy, that he may say, yes, come up. You know, and there's that great example in the Old Testament with Lot and his wife. You know, they kind of got distracted a bit, you know, as we do. You know, we get distracted every now and then with things, but the angels grabbed them. Okay, grab them, no, come. And so that's true. We might be asleep or we might be at work, focused on other things, but our oil's topped up, and then Jesus will just grab us and pull us up to be a part. Be with him, but we don't want it to be that snare. Because when an animal's caught in a snare, what happens? They get chopped up for meat. And we don't want to be chopped up for meat. We want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. So it's a good thing. Maranatha is a good thing for us. So we dwell forever. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. This is a very good example. I've brought this out before, it's just, I think it's a really good example to keep us honed with our priorities. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master, or an employee honours his employer. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? So these priests are going about just offering, you know, whatever they can find. You know, they're not really putting in any effort into serving the Lord. But what he's saying, well, do that to the governor. Do that to the king, the mayor. Do it to your boss. You know, how is that going to go? And what is your boss, or the mayor, or the king, or the premier, or the prime minister compared to God? And so they've found the table of the Lord contemptible, in that they're quite happy just dishing up all sorts, just whatever. You know, I'll get that out of the way, you know, and then I'll just focus on these other things. And so they've seen it as contemptible. They don't realise how important it is, you know, and they're serving God, not men. Down in verse 12, but ye have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this offering of your hand, saith the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. There's that aspect there in verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. What a weariness. Oh, do I have to? You know, do I really have to do that? I mean, just back to the example of our employer, you know, we rock up to work on time. We present ourselves as the best we can to work. We work diligently for the favour of our boss. We do all that for the favour of our boss, you know, because for whatever reason, like, they are paying us, you know, they are worthy of that, that effort that we go into. And so why not for the Lord? You know, he is our God. He will be responsible for our salvation. We do that to our boss. It's a good testimony. It's a very good thing. But we should also do the work for the Lord. Presenting ourselves the best we can. We do the best we can. And that's important. We do the best we can. Okay? The Lord knows us. And if we can't do something, he's okay. He's a gracious God. You know, we do the best we can. Just make sure you do the best you can. You know, without coming up with excuses. It's fascinating, you know, like the effort that people, human beings, put a lot of effort into doing things that aren't pertaining to God. You know, they put all this effort in because they're working for that which they can see and they can understand. They can see an end game to it. They put all this effort in, and yet they don't put the effort in the things of God. It's like a weariness to them. Oh, I've got to do it. You know, it's a chore. Oh, yeah, okay, I've got to go. I've got to do this. I've just got to. But it shouldn't be that weariness. If you put the effort into things, other things that aren't to God, you should be able to put the effort into things that are of God. And just this whole weariness thing, whenever I think of weariness, I think of the ox grinding out the corn, going around in circles, over and over and over. You know, how boring. But it was so important. It formed this bread. And so we churn through the scriptures. We go through the routine. We drag ourselves to the meetings. We do these things for the Lord. We seek the Lord. And we just round and round. It seems boring, but hey, it pertains to salvation. Same thing, manna in the wilderness. The same manna every morning they had to eat, you know. But those that did it survived. You know, we've got the same manna every morning going through this Bible. It's just one Bible with a limited amount of pages, but we churn through it, we pray, we have that manner. We will survive if we deal with this boring, seemingly boring thing, the same thing, you know. But it turns out it's not boring. Oops, splattered it everywhere. It's not boring, you know, the work in the Lord. It's amazing. I was told when I first came to the Lord, it gets better. And it does get better. You know, just when I break it down like that, we're reading the same book, we're praying every day, same meeting schedule, you know, every week. Once every 3 months, we've got the prayer and fast. You know, it's just the same schedule, outreaches and so forth. It seems boring, but it's a lot of fun. You know, the things that I've done since coming to the Lord is just remarkable. It's just, it's the joy of the Lord, you know, serving the Lord. You see these great things. Like yesterday, it was just wonderful talking to this person about the things of the Lord. You know, it's just being able to expound these things. There's fellowships all over the world where you can go and visit. You know, you hear testimonies, amazing testimonies. Watch the word of the Lord just spread. It's just incredible. But the basic tenet is this whole grinding out the corn. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And there's that other aspect as well I was thinking of, like with the work. So in a week, 7 days, we set aside 5 of those days to work for an employer. Once a week, we set aside Sunday to serve the Lord, you know, come to the meetings here on Sunday once a week. And then once every 3 months, we set aside another day for the prayer and fast. And yet, during a whole week, we set aside 5 of those days for employer. So put it into perspective. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So I said I was a bit nervous about giving this talk, but this scripture here, you know, provoke unto love and good works. You know, like I want to see everyone here raised up to meet the Lord in the air. That provoke, you know, prodding, stirring them up to love and good works. It's that that compassion that we have for other spirit-filled people to see them grow strong. It says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we see the Lord approaching. We see things happening in this world where Jesus is coming back. For if we sin willfully after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much more sore a punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. So that's pretty shocking. You know, we've been sanctified. We are saints. We've been set apart through the Holy Ghost. You know, let us not tread underfoot the Son of God, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Very confronting scriptures, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. So let us be focused on this thing. Let's wake from our slumber. Wow, this is serious stuff, you know, serious stuff. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And this is a part of Nina's testimony, which is so good. Luke chapter 3, like when she... first received the Holy Spirit and really didn't want to be part of organized religion. And she said that she had a dream about this. Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. It's a journey. This repentance is a journey. We make mistakes, we repent, we refocus on following the Lord. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Or begin not to say within yourselves, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm all right. You are all right, as long as you walk in truth as well. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, just imagine this, you know, the trees are growing in a grove. You know, the purpose of those trees growing there so it doesn't cumber the ground is that it bears fruit. You know, someone who grows an orchard, they want fruit coming off the trees. And so it says here that the axe is laid at the root of the trees. So I imagine, you know, there's the owner of the orchard who's walking along, looking at the trees, and looks at a tree and says, oh, that one's not bearing fruit. There's an axe already laying at the root of the trees. It's already there. It's not that he has to head off and grab the axe. He just has to bend down and cut it down. It's as simple as that. It's waiting. The axe is sitting at the root of the trees, ready to cut it down when it's not bearing fruit. That's very dramatic. So let us grow and bear fruit. So that then, yeah, okay, the axe is laying there, but it doesn't matter. You know, the owner of the orchard just walks past. He sees the fruit, it's bearing fruit. Sorry, he sees the tree, it's bearing fruit. That's a good tree. It's not cumbering the ground. So I'll leave it. You know, and then he goes back up and down the rows. And then later on he might come back and look at the same tree, it's not bearing fruit, but the axe is still there. This is where our salvation is. It's a tightrope. We walk a tightrope. Our salvation is so important, and we want to grab hold of that and understand that we want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. And I love the aspect that if a tree, it is slow, it takes time to grow. Time. And you give it time. I mean, look at my own testimony. I took 8 years to grow. Years to grow. Still growing. Praise the Lord for that. Still learning and changing. But it takes time. And the Lord is patient. You know, as it says elsewhere in the scripture, he's patient. And so that he can see the good fruit of the earth. Last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Last scripture, one that was read out on Wednesday. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, so there's that action, diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's that thing. It gives us guidance here, you know, that that we will not be barren or unfruitful. You know, we want to bear fruit for the things and know, have this knowledge of the kingdom of God. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. They've lost their vision and hath forgotten that he was purged or cleaned, you know, or purified from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, is that word again, to make your calling and election sure. Be that pillar, that solid pillar, the roots of the tree deep down in the ground. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Okay, there you go. We've got some encouragement here. Okay, there's some great encouragement here. You'll never fail. You will be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. You'll never fail, which is just so reassuring when we can walk about and know that we'll never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. You'll be guided or supplied through to this entrance unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what we want. We want the door to be opened and we're guided in, you know, this everlasting kingdom. You know, that's our hope, our eternal hope. And it's with brotherly kindness that you're provoked unto love and good works and encourage people to carry on. You know, stuff happens in life. It's true. Stuff happens. And in this room, there's a lot of stuff that's happened in people's lives. And you focus on the things of the Lord and let us not be blind and lose our vision. We want that everlasting life. We want to abundantly enter into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to be saved from death, from hell. We want to be saved from that. you know, to be raised up to be with him and live forever. And the things that are established in the Revival Fellowship over all these years are to help us to grow strong and to bear fruit and to encourage others. Now time is tough. I mean, I'm finding that myself. Like when Pastor Tim left, I just couldn't believe it. I have no time for anything else. It's just amazing how our time just gets sucked away. And I've been trying so hard to get Mondays off work, but they refuse to give it to me. Because I need that time. We all need this time, you know, and it just so many things take up our time. But it's just that we all got to manage it ourselves with fear and trembling and do what you can to serve the Lord, because we want this entrance ministered unto us. Come in, you good and faithful servant. You know, be with us forever and to the everlasting kingdom.